Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered the devil, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led Jesus up and showed him in an instant all the dominions of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered the devil, "It is written, worship the Lord your God. The Lord alone shall you serve." Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, God will command the angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered the devil, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Having finished every test, the devil departed from Jesus until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Well, in a lot of ways, this story is a tale of two spirits. On one hand, the Holy Spirit is that spirit which builds a relationship, which connects people together in community and faith. The being, the entity known as the devil in this story, or sometimes Satan, to use the Hebrew term, is a spirit of disconnection, if you will, disruption, things that divide and set people apart. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned that one of my great teachers, Fred Danker, identifies Jesus in this Gospel of St. Luke as the great politician. It's kind of a grating term, I guess, as we think of it. But how is it that Jesus is the great politician? In our day, so much of politics are characterized by disruption, a spirit of disruption. But Jesus comes as one who heals, who puts us back together as community. So, I wonder, have you ever met someone who was full of it? In today's lesson, we meet two. Jesus, it says, is full of the Holy Spirit. Satan, full of, well, you decide. Jesus is characterized by being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you can recall the sequence, he's just returning from the Jordan River where he was baptized. And it was at his baptism that the Holy Spirit came down and filled him. We always ask, what's the significance of his baptism? Did he need to be baptized? Well, he was baptized so that he would be fully connected to us, fully in relationship with us, in our humanity. Jesus intends what God intends, to be in life-giving relationship to us and with us. And as such, being connected to us, being in relationship, Jesus is also therefore connected directly, intimately, and fully to God, because it is God's will and intention to engage us as the community, to be connected to us. That's why he was sent, to repair, to reconcile, to restore, to replace us once more in community with God. So to be full of the Holy Spirit is to be fully connected to you and I. And because this relationship to us is God's Spirit, Jesus is also fully connected to God. In my mind, it's one of the ways we can think about Jesus as God-man. He's fully human, fully divine, connected to both. So isn't it interesting? What's the first thing that happens to this person who is full of the Holy Spirit? At Confirmands, we were talking. Well, we started off our whole Sunday school talking about how early we got up. For them, it was how early they were getting up for school. And we got to talking about tests. And I said, you know, this is really what this lesson is about. It's about tests. Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit. And it says he's going to be tested by the devil. Jesus is led by that Spirit that wants to connect us to one another and to God. Led into the wilderness to encounter this completely different kind of spirit. But a very common spirit, I think we'd have to say, as we reflect on the world and our own lives. A spirit at work throughout the ages. Clearly a spirit that's at work this day, these days. One way to think about it, and we wrestled again with this in my confirmation class, that this is a spirit of privilege. And it is a spirit of privilege that disconnects, that sets people apart, a spirit that robs others of humanity, a spirit that claims the right of some to have life at the expense of others. So isn't this a temptation that we all face, to value ourselves as privileged over others, to live by privilege as we can find it or define it? We see that the temptation of Jesus is all about privilege. Or, as Fred might would say, what kind of politics are you going to practice? A politics of healing or a politics of disruption? The devil states, if you are the Son of God, and I say this every time we read this lesson, it's not that the devil is asking. This is a given. If you are the Son of God, and we know that you are, then assert your privilege. Suspend the rules of nature. Turn stones into bread. Or accept all the dominions of the world. You deserve them. It's your privilege. After all, you're the Son of God. The politics of privilege. Or throw yourself down. Test God. God will take care of you. Bend God to your will and to mine. Would you all not say that such a spirit is running rampant today in our lives? Privilege, entitlement, selfishness, and then also a great fear of losing these privileges. And if you call that spirit, as is done in the lesson, the devil or Satan, then he's full of it, the prince of privilege. But Jesus intends to live fully by the will of God, not by the will that elevates him or privileges him above others, even above us. And in that sense, this story, this temptation story, although it seems almost anachronistic and is thousands of years old, really tells us about a current reality. And it is for all time and for all places. It is for us as well as the people who heard it then. So after the temptation story, next we learn, and we've already read this a couple weeks ago, how Jesus will live, what kind of politics he will practice, if not by privilege. Full of the Holy Spirit, he gives that keynote address, which we read several weeks ago. And it says at the beginning, "The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God is upon me to preach good news to the poor, release to the captive, sight to the blind, liberty to the oppressed." This is the Spirit's program. This is God's program. It is to be in ministry to all those who are without privilege, the lost, the outcast, the sinner, to let power flow out of him to the powerless, life to the lifeless, love to the loveless. And it strikes me parenthetically, at least at this moment, there's no mention of dying, although that will come. Jesus is giving up power and privilege for the powerless and the outcast. In a lot of ways, I think this is the way we can understand that Pauline passage or that great hymn where Jesus empties himself, giving up all privilege, all power for us, that we might be empowered, that we might have life. I know in my own life, it ain't so easy to give up privilege. I kind of like it when I have it, and maybe I like it when others don't, or at least I don't want to give up mine. I'm wondering what that could mean for our Lenten discipline. I'll let the Spirit lead you in that regard. But particularly, I think it's very apt, as I sent out a note this past week, that we're going to undertake the care and healing of creation for our Lenten discipline. As we think about it, do we live in respect to creation as privileged people? I think we do. This is our right to have all this stuff, to use it, to consume it. It'll all be there. It's ours. And other folks, and particularly folks coming after us, well, too bad. I think this is a great concept. And so I commend to you to undertake this discipline of care and healing for creation in these 40 days, to understand perhaps how we've used our own privilege to demean the creation. And we know, as Jesus goes on with this program of spirit, of community, of including all people into the life of creation, it will become deadly for him. Because we can see in our own world that people fight tooth and nail to hang on, to maintain privilege. I think that is what we're seeing a lot, not only in our country, but internationally, if you will. What kind of politics are we going to practice? What kind of relationships are we going to practice? When normal temptations and co-optations don't work, we see in the scripture things get violent. Now we come back to that very last line of today's lesson, where the devil's kind of repairs to a time, an opportune time, mentioned at the end of the temptation story. Jesus will hear this temptation articulated almost with the same words on the cross. If you are the Son of God, save yourself. Come down. It's not worth it to be on the cross. It's not worth it to be on the cross for all these people. Save yourself. The lost are not worth it. But the reality, the radical reality of Jesus the Christ is that he says it is his privilege to save you, to care for you, to embrace you, to restore and reconcile your relationship to God. Jesus' answer is that we're all worth it, worth bearing the death we lay on others, worth forgiving, worth filling with the Holy Spirit, and then worth sending out into the world to proclaim good news. In the Christ, we are worth it. In Christ, we are all daughters and sons of the living God and called to see each other as sister and brother. Does that not become our privilege to give dignity and life for all? And so let this be our Lenten discipline, the way of the cross, to follow Jesus, to engage others, to be privileged and honored to care in healing and love and life, paying attention to the Spirit that is within us. Trust the Spirit that guides you, that connects you to one another, to others, in our relationship to God in Christ Jesus, bringing healing again as the Spirit leads us to others, and, as we said, to creation itself. Let this be our Lenten discipline. Amen.